Stand with me as we read from Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, beginning in verse 10, going to verse 14. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppress you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob, little Israel. Do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And as we, before we sit down, I want to remind us all that this is kind of the text in which we're coming out of for this series in 1 Peter 4:10-11, for which Peter writes, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to look today for just a few minutes at this idea of being gifted, and as Justin jumped us into this, we're gifted to gift others, but there's a part of this giftedness that's we have to be careful of, and that is the reminder that we are gifted so as not to fear in this world. We are gifted to not be afraid of this world. Our gifts were never to be rooted or based in fear, but in the very words of God, who we'll look at and as we just read, tell us, do not fear. But fear is a very powerful thing. It has a way of getting us to do things that we would never do. Fear motivates us, and it can propel us to be someone we never thought we would be. Fear can keep us from doing the things in life we could have done or should have done. Fear can also stop us from living this life fully into God. As the writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 2:14-15, it says this, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And then verse 15 says this, and free those who all their lives, notice that, who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Fear has the power to bind us. It has the power to control us. It has the power to keep us from living into these gifts that God has given us. Gifts that were never meant to be shackled or bound or controlled by, as Paul would say, the powers and principalities of this world. And so as we begin, there's this book that I've read and I'm rereading, and maybe you've read it. It's a book called Jaber Crow. It's written by Wendell Berry. If you know anything about Wendell Berry is a poet, and he's an American poet, American author. But he wrote this book called Jaber Crow. And Jaber Crow is a book about a fictional character named Jaber Crow, and it is about his life and all that he goes through in life from birth until end. And the unique thing about Jaber is Jaber is the barber of Port William, Kentucky. It is the biography of a barber in Port William, Kentucky. And what's interesting about this and what's fascinating about this is how it progresses through, how Wendell Berry takes you through the life of Jaber. And the book is written through Jaber's experience. And so it starts out from birth when his name is Jonah. And then 10 years later when he loses aunt and uncle and mother and father to the 1917-1918 flu. And then a little bit later on in the 1920s, he loses his aunt and uncle. And Jonah goes from Jonah to Jay because at 11, he's put in an orphanage. And the head of the orphanage, the Good Shepherd Orphanage, says, your name from here on out will just be Jay. And so he's no longer Jonah, he's now Jay. But Jay learns something in school. Jay learns that while he's in school, if he decides that he wants to be a minister, then he gets everything he wants. And so Jay believes that somewhere around 12 or 13, he has the calling to be a minister. So he tells the head of the orphanage he wants to be a minister, and everything changes. Everything changes. He becomes the big guy. In fact, as we read, he receives a scholarship to divinity school, and he receives all the perks at the orphanage of being of wanting to be a minister. But there's something interesting about this as we read. Jaber says this on his decision to be a minister. He says, Once I had the reputation, so long as I continued to talk it up, I didn't have to live it up. So long as I could talk it up, I didn't have to live it up. Jay realized some things. If he said, I have the gift to be a minister, the people liked him. But as you read, you realize that this still isn't making Jaber happy. He's just not happy in what's going on. And so he decides as he goes to divinity school that it's not for him. You notice as you read this fear in him. It's a fear of being a nobody. It's a fear of being lost to history and memory. It's a fear of just nobody remembering him. And so Jay goes on this journey after leaving ministry school, and it lands him in this small little town in the Depression era of America, Port William, Kentucky, where for the next 50 years he becomes the barber of Port William, Kentucky. And that's where it's written from, the life of a barber, that he goes from orphan to desire to be minister to now a barber. And one of my favorite lines in the book, Jaber says this, I have had the life I have had because I kept on being a barber. You might say, in spite of my attentions to the contrary. You get this idea that as you read the book, that Jaber is living in this kind of fear of what to become, a fear of what the world's going to think of him. And so he says he wants to be something when he really doesn't want to, because there are so many at the orphanage who really would like somebody to be a minister. He's a person with gifts. He's afraid to use those gifts because those gifts feel meaningless, because those gifts are cutting hair and listening. Cutting hair and listening. And he's afraid that those gifts may turn him into a nobody. But as we see in this quote, we realize that Jonah goes from Jay and then becomes who he really is, Jaber. The name the town started calling him because he was the barber of Port Williams, Kentucky. Lived into the gifts and realized that he could be something more. He lived in, realized that he was meant to be who he was. And so that as we look at Isaiah 41, the interesting thing about Isaiah 41 as we read it is you have Isaiah 40, you actually have Isaiah 39, and at the end of Isaiah 39, we have the prophet who tells the people of Israel, getting ready to go into exile, it's not going to look pretty. Then you get to Isaiah 40, and Isaiah 40, we think, is right after 586 when Jerusalem fell, probably written somewhere in the 540s when they're in exile in Babylon. And in Isaiah 40, you have this moment in which you read it, and it says, there's a voice that cries out in the desert. And you have this very hopeful tone from Isaiah 40 into 41. And in Isaiah 41, we have that, and you probably noticed it, this kind of continued words of the Lord saying, do not fear. Because you see that Israel has gone from something in which they always were, or something in which they had became this nation, this powerful land. They have a military, they have power, they have an identity, to now becoming, in the blink of an eye, a name that they never thought they would be, exiles. No nation, no land, exiles. And you have to imagine that in those moments, in those years, they're journeying through and trying to figure out, who am I supposed to be? Who are we supposed to be? We thought we were this and we're not. And how are we supposed to live in this place? And you get this tension as you think about going into exile, of losing your identity, and fearful of if you lived into that identity that you had in Israel, what the Babylonians might do to you, and being exiles, can you be who you're supposed to be, or do you have to be something different? Do you have to be what the Babylons want? And the prophet writes in Isaiah 41, these words that I think that we all need to hear today, these words that I think that are important for us to hear in this moment, with everything going on in our lives, with everything swirling around us, I think these are some of the more important words that we can hear and that we can hold on to. The writer of Isaiah, the prophet, says this, and we hear it over and over, do not fear. In verse 10, the prophet writes, do not fear. In verse 13, do not fear. In verse 14, do not fear. These are decisive words from the prophet off the lips of God. These are the words that in this moment the people of God need to hear. That their gifts, their identity, who they are, is not rooted in a fear of trying to now live into a certain standard. It's not a fear. Gifts, their gifts are not rooted in a fear of now what the Babylonians want, of me not being who I need to be or want to be, because I'm afraid either that I'll be in trouble or I'll get hurt or that I'll just become a nobody. But instead, the writer writes, you do not fear. Continue to be who you are. Because here's the thing. Your talents, your gifts are rooted in a story. They will tell a story. What you do in life and how you act in life will tell a story. It will tell a story of either you're kind of living, as we've talked in the past, about someone else who's not really yourself. You're just trying to make people happy, which we see as a story of fear, or your gifts have the ability to tell us another story. This decisive gospel story that we read in Isaiah, that the prophet's trying to get the people of Israel to realize that even though you're in exile, you don't have to fear and you can still be who you are. But your gifts can tell another story. And as Jabez realized in the book, being a barber could tell a story of what he thought about himself and who he was, and who he could be for the people around him. And so, as we think about this, I wonder, what story is your gifts telling others? Because what you see is the people of Israel realize that God's word in their life was the first and the last word. It was the first and the last word that they didn't have to walk in fear, even though they were in a place they didn't know. They didn't have to walk in fear, even though others around them may be saying, we really would like you to do this when you don't feel like doing this. Here's the thing, your gifts are your gifts. And as we all journey through this, and we're all on a journey much like Israel, as we journey through this land, as we journey through this life, holding on to our gifts and wondering what we're supposed to be like, we're all trying to figure out where we fit in. We're all trying to figure out where our gifts fit into this story. And that's where fear kind of can come into it. That's where we struggle with fear. We struggle with wondering, and maybe you've struggled with wondering whether your life has purpose or your gifts have meaning to anybody. We think this way partly because we do live in a culture of celebrity. I mean, I was just thinking about it. This whole idea of reality TV, the reality celebrity. I mean, think about when that started. Michael was talking about the mask he's wearing. It's an ACU mask. And that's when I realized, as I was sitting over here this morning, realizing where the reality life started, this whole reality culture and the desire of your 15 minutes of fame, probably started my freshman year at ACU, I think, when everyone remember The Survivor? Everyone remember Survivor, very first episodes of Survivor? Well, I remember my junior year when one of the Survivor guys was from, like, Abilene or somewhere in Texas. Anybody remember that? He was Colby or something was his name. And if that's his real name and I remember that, that's very sad. But that's when it started, with this whole Survivor thing. And I think we struggle with wanting to find meaning and wanting to find purpose. And we struggle with this fear of using our gifts because of this reality culture, because of this desire to believe that we have to have purpose, and the way to have purpose is to be some form of a celebrity so that I can have my 15 minutes of fame. And we think if we can't be noticed or if we can't get a pat on our back, then we'll become a nobody. And the gifts that we do have aren't good enough to either make other people happy or to give ourselves a pat on the back. And so we wonder if we're just going to become nobodies. But here's the thing about this. And if you read Isaiah 41, and there's this part in 14, and here's what it says. In Isaiah 41, 14, it says, "Do not be afraid." And notice what the writer says. "You worm Jacob, little Israel," if you have the NIV, if you have other interpretations, it says insect Israel. Notice the names that are used here. I think this is fascinating. Worm Jacob, insect Israel. They're kind of derogatory terms towards the people of Israel. I don't think it's God calling them that. I think it's God calling them what the people of Israel are calling themselves. And maybe you've done this before. You've ever used derogatory terms toward yourself? Who in here has ever called yourself stupid? And my son's over there, and I know I'm not supposed to use that word, so forgive me. But we have a way of doing the same thing here. We have a way of using derogatory terms on our own life so that we don't think we're good enough, so that we don't think we can use our gifts. So we have a way of calling ourselves in our minds or even out loud certain words. But here's what God says in this moment. God says, "I know what you're calling yourself, but get this, you still don't have to fear. You may think you're this, but guess what? I'm God. I gave you those gifts, and I think that you can still use them, and don't stop using them. You may be calling yourself this, but I'm not calling you that. You don't have to be in fear that I, as God, don't think you're good enough. Don't think that you're what you're saying you are." God is telling the people of Israel, even though you're in exile, you still are who you are. You are my beloved. Therefore, live into who you are. Paul says it best when he says to Timothy this. When he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7, and you get this idea that Timothy is struggling a little bit because we had 1 Timothy and then we had 2 Timothy. And so Paul is writing another letter to Timothy. And as we read, you kind of realize that the very first, as Paul normally says, "Grace and peace be with you," Paul adds another one into that introduction and says to Timothy, "Grace, peace, and mercy." You have an idea that Timothy may be struggling in Ephesus a little bit. And in that very first chapter, Paul writes him. Because Timothy is young, and Paul writes him and says this. He says, "For this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." As Paul writes to Timothy, he gives him the decisive word and says, "Do not fear who you are. Do not fear the gifts that you've been given. I don't care what the Church of Ephesus is telling you you should do. I don't care what they're wanting you to be. You do not fear what they say or anybody else says, because it's God who has fanned the flame inside of you to use your gifts for who you're supposed to be, whatever that is, a minister or a barber in Port William, Kentucky. Whatever gifts you have, you live into them fully." Paul knows that Timothy needs this. You get the sense that Timothy needs this. We get the sense that we need it to know that our life, our gifts, everything that we do are meant to flourish in this life. That fear may tell us a story that we're not good enough. Fear may tell us a story that our gifts won't be noticed like everyone else, that we may have to be someone else that we're not, that your life may not make a difference. Fear wants us to believe all of this about ourselves. Fear desires for us to decide to do nothing with our gifts and just make it through the day without an impact. The cool story as we close about Jabez is this, is he didn't know if he wanted to be a barber. He kind of just ended up in his journey in Port William with a guy saying, "Oh, by the way, our barber just quit." And Jabez saying, "I can be a barber." Fear wants us not to say, "I can do that." Fear wants us to not do anything with our gifts. Fear wants us to be so afraid that we don't want to even do the smallest things that we think can't have impact. And so this morning, I will tell you this. You are who you are. That your calling is a calling that you've received by the one who gifts all of us. And I like what Bonhoeffer says here. And he says it with this. He says, "Only where hands are not too good for deeds of love and mercy and everyday helpfulness can the mouth joyfully and convincingly proclaim the message of God's love and mercy." When we think that when we live into the story that our gifts are not good enough, so then we don't do it, or that our gifts are too good, so then we don't do it. Instead, only when we realize that where we are with the gifts that we have, and we can live into them in our moment, in all of its potential, in all of its flourishing, then our gifts tell the story of the one who gifted. Our gifts can then tell the story, the gospel story, that we are not afraid of who we are, that we will live into who we are, whatever it may be. And so if you're a teacher, be the best teacher that you can be. If you're a financial advisor, be the best financial advisor you can be for the person sitting across from you. If you're a barber, cut the best hair that you can cut and listen the best way that you can. If you're retired and you have neighbors, be the best neighbor that you can be. Because all of us have been given gifts, and those gifts are not rooted in a fear or a mistrust, but our gifts have been rooted in a God who says, "Do not fear. Live into them, wherever you are." Because I guarantee you this, to do that, you will make an impact on someone's life today, tomorrow, and in the weeks to come. If you have a need this morning, come now as you stand and as we sing.